Joined now, as always, on Thursday by Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt. Welcome back, I guess, because we didn't get a chance to talk last week.
Yeah, I missed you last week.
Yeah,
it's great to be here.
You were a little busy with the mayor's innovation project.
Yeah,
this time last week,
I think we were touring mayors around around the campus,
yeah,
looking at some great examples of innovation around how the energy efficiency of the buildings that were being built, the transit system, and how our healthcare system works.
So I was talking with Tom Stevens earlier this week about this, but the fact that the Mayor's Innovation Project was in Chapel Hill meant that Chapel Hill in particular, and also Carrboro and Orange County to an extent, got really a chance to show off to all of these dozens of mayors from all around the country and the Philippines.
Yeah.
But what did you learn, and what did we learn as a community from the meetings and the conversations that took place this week?
You know, the subjects and topics that we discussed were determined in the conversation with the project and their staff, because we wanted to find some things that Chapel Hill could showed examples of.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was. We were proud to be able to talk about the rezoning works we've been doing around Ephesus Fordham, the affordable housing work that we've done, our civic engagement, and our incubators. But I think the most enriching aspect of all of this was actually being able to get feedback from other mayors about what they think about what we've done, and how they may be doing things differently. And
mm-hmm.
That was really a very enriching experience.
What's the most rewarding, or what's the most sort of substantive thing that you'll take away in terms of other best practices of other towns?
Well, we talked a lot about civic engagement, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when I talk to other mayors, sometimes it's just about how we approach our community and approach problem solving. You know, I mean, like, for example, the mayor of Lansing, who's very
Verge Bernero, yes.
Yeah. The Verge, yeah, is a big personality.
Yeah.
And he had some advice for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Mark, you just need to be a strong mayor. And I said, I can't do that. He said, well, that's the only way you're going to be able to get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he talked me through.
Lansing is not a manager system.
It is not.
Yeah. From Lansing, I can tell you that much.
Verge had some strong advice around how to be a leader, but in a different kind of political environment.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't as if there weren't analogies, though, and lessons for me to learn from it. And I mean, so he had some, you know, he was kind of kidding, really, whenever he said be a strong mayor.
Mm.
But I think what he was talking about was just the way in which our council members, and including myself, needed to demonstrate strong leadership in the face of when trying to create needed change.
Mm-hmm.
and understanding that, you know, there are challenges with helping people through that change, and that's just part of what you got elected to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, kind of being having someone like him talk to me about how he handles those situations, I think helps me be more effective. Yeah.
So what is the needed change then? I remember last week after it was all over, I was at DSI on that Friday night.
Oh, I didn't know you were there.
Yeah, I was sitting in the back. I was at there for Mr. Diplomat when you were speaking with a whole bunch of mayors. And one of the things that I remember you saying was you got up and said, well, I was absolutely terrified for the weeks leading up to it that all of these mayors were going to come in and expose all of Chapel Hill's dirty laundry. And I have to ask, what is that dirty laundry?
Well, I know. Yeah, expose our dirty laundry.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it wasn't that. No, like, for example, you know, when we went through the Ephesus Fordham process,
mm-hmm,
I mean, that we didn't have unanimity, and we still don't have unanimity across our community on whether that was the best thing to do or the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's your expectation that you have to achieve that in order to create change, then you're not going to ever create. You just need to understand that you're not a change maker.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's kind of the stuff that Verge was talking about, you know. And I mean, I was nervous just because I was playing host. Just because, you know, you just want to make sure that, you know, you've dusted under the TV, and you know you've got the dog hair swept up, and you know you're just making pretty, and you know, so that's where my nerves were. They were completely unnecessary. We have an amazing community that just embraced our visitors with open arms, and they had only the highest praise, not just for the risks that we've taken, and I believe and they share our hope for being able to be successful around it, but just the people in our community. Mm-hmm. Whether they were staff members who were actually volunteering their time to help with the conference, or the business leaders that they met in our community, the university officials who helped guide them through some great examples of innovation and architecture on campus and how our bus system works and healthcare and that stuff. But you know, they were not shy with their enthusiasm and their compliments, and I was proud.
So now that the meeting is over and you've got a chance to relax for, what, a day, an hour before meetings start up again in Chapel Hill, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we start back on the 8th of September, and we will be back in our own town hall.
Yeah, which will be very nice. Also for the media, because the audio quality will be better.
I'm sure a lot of things are going to be better. You know, there's something about having meetings in a multi-purpose room that isn't good for many purposes at all. We're going to go back and have our meetings in a room that's designed to have public meetings. And I'm sure that OWASA and the school board, as well as the council and everyone else uses that space, our planning board and all of our boards, are going to be grateful to be back
to
in that room.
To have it back, right, yeah.
I think a lot of people underestimate how important and how used the council chamber is. I mean, there is something going on in there every night and often during the day. It's also a great place to go and hear and to teach, you know, and so we have people come in and speakers all the time. But when you go in there for the first time, you just may have your socks knocked off. I mean, it's just beautiful. But I think that's just more of a function of the stuff is new, you know, and not the old stuff anymore. We worked really hard to make sure that we weren't creating a Cadillac. And so this is our town manager talking. It's not the Cadillac version of a council chamber. He calls it the Buick model.
Okay.
So it does what it needs to do.
Buicks are good.
Yeah. They're better than they used to be. Well, I think, you know, what Buick tells us is that you can still have a great car that looks good and it's exciting and doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're going to see in the new council chamber. We have some new screens up. The projection. We're not going to be projecting things on the wall anymore. We're actually going to be using HD with a screen so people can see and engage with the work the council's doing much more effectively. And it looks like everyone who's walked in there has said to me, why are there fewer seats? Are you trying to run the community out of the room? Now, you heard it here. You're going to hear it again from somebody on a commentary, probably. Why does the council want to run the citizens out of the council chamber?
Okay, what's the difference in the number of seats, though?
Yeah, there's two more now than there were before. But they're going to say that there are fewer. Because it looks like the room is bigger. And even though there are a couple more places for seats, it doesn't look like it's taking up as much of the room anymore.
All right.
So it's an optical illusion.
Okay.
But there's actually more places to sit, and it's more accessible to people with disabilities in the old chamber.
All right. Sounds good. So we're speaking with Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt. Meetings getting back underway in September, and Mayor's Innovation Project took place last week. Of course, speaking with people from that meeting, obviously entrepreneurship and incubators, a big topic, form-based code, as with Ephesus Church, and also affordable housing.
That's
and
right.
Of course, we had the bad news in Chapel Hill last week that DHIC has that temporary, hopefully, setback on their application for state tax credit. So what is, and this is going to take them until January until they can reapply, so what is the next step for DHIC and affordable housing in Chapel Hill?
Well, first, I want to address, in answering the question, I want to address what I think is was an uninformed letter to the editor from yesterday in the Chapel Hill News that referenced this very thing, affordable housing in the Ephesus Fordham area, which said that there's no incentive for affordable housing in the Ephesus Fordham district. Leveraging our own property to build, you know, 100 and some number of almost 200 affordable housing units for seniors and low-income families, that's addressing affordable housing in the district. And we also need to remember the council has not rezoned some of the land at this point because we are looking to put an affordable housing incentive on two tracks along Elliott Road. So what we're talking about right now is actually part of the incentive for affordable housing that we've created in Ephesus Fordham. And I wish we could all work together to eliminate the misinformation about it. But as to the DHIC, it's my preference. We're going to have to see how what the council feels. But it's my preference that we wait and reapply. Mm-hmm. What we've learned through this process was, well, first we learned we didn't get it because the application wasn't complete. It was missing an important piece of information that only DHIC could have provided. Mm-hmm. And they will be providing it in the next application. Yeah. The second thing that we learned was that our application for this was only scored in one area, and that was the location area, and we maxed out the points on that. Mm-hmm. We got as many points in what could be scored as you could get, which I think, while it's a very competitive process to get this funding and these tax credits, we have a very competitive project that will stand up well if we have a complete application. And providing all of this affordable housing to people, particularly for seniors and low-income people, then I think it's worth it. If we were to go forward looking for another housing provider to partner with, it's going to take us longer than it would be to just go ahead and reapply in the spring.
So what is next for affordable housing in Chapel Hill over and above DHIC? DHIC is a great project. It's one project, though, and the need for affordable housing is significant, not just in Chapel Hill, but all across Orange County and beyond.
Yeah, that's right. And, the DHIC project is just the latest thing. I mean, so it's not our first and then what's next. It's all these things we've been doing. Now DHIC and this partnership is one. So everything we've been doing in the past continues. That means we are continuing to apply the principles of our inclusionary zoning ordinance in every application that comes forward. We're applying the principles that we outlined in the affordable rental strategy that came out of my affordable rentals committee that was led by Donna Bell and Sally Green last year. We've already been experimenting with ensuring there's some affordability in rental projects with the Timber Hollow project earlier this year, which is actually up for an award because it was such a creative approach to making sure that this apartment complex and during its renovation actually secures some units that remain affordable to people and don't just, get rents don't just skyrocket because they've been renovated.
We've got to let you go, unfortunately, but I could talk with you about this for hour, but this will be an ongoing conversation.
Absolutely.
So we'll have more
chances.
But Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.
And I would encourage everyone to pick up a copy of the Chapel Hill News and look at the editorial on the front page, just FYI. Because I wrote it.
You were also.
Yeah, I wrote it.
You actually wrote the front page editorial.
The front page editorial. I'm excited about it.
That's not the uninformed letter.
Okay, good.
Letter that I was talking about.